Listen as Danny sings, "I just started living."
Title of your message this morning, "I've Just Started Living." If you need a little added insight, this message is about the importance, the necessity of being born again. I guess maybe God has a sense of humor in having me preach this message today. Because 52 years ago today, an earth-shattering event took place. Some people might say it was a day that continues to live in infamy. I don't know. It probably depends on which one of my family members you ask. But on June 6, 1969, at a place called Woodland Hospital in a little town called Moberly, Missouri, the Warren family welcomed a new addition. The parents, Mom and Dad, Gerald and Cornelia Warren, named the boy Francis, and the rest was history. Now, obviously, I don't personally remember anything about that day. But I know it was an exciting event. It was a meaningful event for my family. Why? Because new life had come into the world. A new member of the family was brought in. And new life. New life is always an exciting event. Mama Kay sharing her story about going to be a great-grandmother again to twins. It's exciting. New life. New birth. We read our scripture already, but in John chapter 3, verse 7, I want to remind us what Jesus says there. He tells Nicodemus, he says, "Don't be surprised that I said to you, you must be born anew," or born again, depending on which translation you're using with your Bible. But I want to ask us the question, why? Jesus says, you must be born anew, but why is that? Why is it we have to be born anew? Why do we have to be born again? And in order to answer that question, we're going to look at some different aspects or different ideas and stages, I guess, of birth and life process. And obviously the first stage of that is there's our physical birth or being born of the flesh. Now I've got a news flash for you. If you are here today, it's because you've gone through the physical process of being born. Did you know that? How many of us here have ever had a birthday? Oh, come on. Everybody's got a... Seriously, there's a problem here if somebody doesn't know that. I know our culture is getting stranger and stranger by the moment, but if you don't understand you've actually had a birthday, you're like way out there. We've all been through it. It's because we've been through that physical process of being born, and we know that our physical birth is the result of a relationship between a man and a woman that resulted in our conception. And that's what John's talking about. If you go back to John chapter 1, verse 13, it's what John's talking about when he talks about the difference between being born of the Spirit. He said being born again is not the same as being born because of passion or a relationship, or a physical relationship. When we're born physically, new life has entered the world. Now, I asked a few minutes ago, why do we need to be born again? Because through no fault of our own, actually, if you want someone to blame for this, you can go all the way back to Adam and Eve, or Eve and Adam, whichever order you want to go. I mean, I we live in this culture of equity and making sure everybody's treated fairly. So we got to, if Eve wants to be first, we'll let her be first. But through no fault of our own, we're born with what we know as original sin or a sin nature. I had already written the sermon. I had actually already preached the sermon for Facebook because we pre-record those. But just the other day, I was on Facebook and a pastor friend of mine from North Dakota posted something. And he said, every time I hear someone say, they'll give an excuse for their sin or they'll give an excuse for their condition. And he said, every time I hear someone say, well, I can't help it, I was born that way. That is exactly the reason we need to be born again. The fact that I'm born this way. And you know what? There's a lot of truth to that. Each and every one of us are born with what we call original sin. We're born with a sin nature because it goes all the way back to the fall of Adam and Eve when they chose to commit sin, when they chose to do what was against God's will and against His instruction. So since that day, since that first sin, everyone that's born of the flesh is subject to a sinful nature. The old timers used to call it a bent towards sin or an inclination to sin. Now what does that mean? It simply means that there's something inside of me, there's a part of my nature, there's a part of my heart that seems to be drawn with a desire to do sinful things rather than holy and Christ-like things. Everyone that's born deals with that. It means there's something inside of us that draws us to sin instead of to God. This is what is being referred to in Genesis chapter 6. If you go all the way back there, verses 5 through 8, this is God getting ready to send the flood to destroy the earth. And here's why. Why would God ever come to a point where He wanted to destroy everything and everyone He had ever created? Here's why. Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse 5, it says, "The Lord saw that humanity had become thoroughly evil on the earth, and that every idea their minds thought up was always completely evil." The Lord regretted making human beings on the earth, and he was heartbroken. So the Lord said, I will wipe off the land, the human race that I've created, from human beings to livestock, to the crawling things, to the birds in the skies, because I regret I ever made them. Wow. What an indictment. What a judgment against God's own creation. Now let's look around us. Have you looked at the news on the internet lately? Have you turned the news on? Have you watched anything on TV? Have you seen anything that's going on in our culture around us? I've got to ask the question, how much closer do we need to be? I, for one, am thankful that God promised he would never again send a flood to destroy the earth, because if he was, I think we need to be building a boat. Here's what my study Bible, some of the notes in my study Bible talk about original sin, and here's what it says. It says, we are not able to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We are not masters in our own house. These statements illustrate the basic concern of the doctrine of original sin. Original sin is a reality that is bigger than we are and from which we cannot liberate ourselves. It is the state of every natural man, whether he be a gross, scandalous transgressor or a more reputable and decent sinner, says John Wesley. Sin, listen to this, sin distorts our whole being, our relationships with God and other people, our ideas of success, and even our relation to wealth. There is no hope for transformation except by the grace of God. When viewed from the perspective of original sin, salvation becomes a crucial concept. It implies resistance to the sinful conditions of our time, liberation from the structures of sin at every level, and new relationships. This original sin is why being born or born anew is so vital, because salvation is the only way to be set free and to overcome the original sin we are born with. I was born that way. I'm just being the person God created me to be. That's why we need to be born again. So let's look at the next phase of our birth or life process, and that's what we know as being born of the Spirit. Being born of the Spirit. But in order to talk about this, we have to make sure we're all on the same page about it, what it really means to be born again. One of my favorite commentators is named William Barclay, and he says this: to be born anew is to undergo such a radical change that it is like a new birth. Is there anyone in this room, maybe I better not ask that. Let me just put it as a statement. If your life hasn't changed since you met Jesus, then you haven't met Jesus. If your life's not different since you've been saved than before you were saved, then I'm here to tell you, I don't think you have the right to claim to be saved. Because when Jesus comes into our life, that song, I picked that song for a reason. As I was sitting there thinking about this message this week, that song came back to me. I've just started living. I found me a brand new life. Our life changes when we meet Jesus. And if it hasn't, then I need to ask myself the question, have I genuinely met Jesus? He says that to be born anew is to undergo such a radical change that it is like a new birth. It is to have something happen to the soul which can only be described as being born all over again. And the whole process is not human achievement, because it comes from the grace and the power of God. Now remember that quote we just read a few minutes ago. There is no hope for transformation except by the grace of God. I can't change myself. No matter how wrong I realize I might be, no matter how sinful I realize I might be, I can't change myself no matter how hard I try. When we experience new birth, then we're born of the Spirit. It brings with it the restoration of the image of God in us. We were created in His image, but see, original sin mars that image. Why do we need to be born again? Here's the short answer. We need to be born again because the new birth restores the image of God that was damaged during the fall. It overcomes the original sin concept. And that image of God is renewed in us. The new birth restores it, enables us to overcome the inclination towards sin or the old sin nature. But there are some new things we need to understand in order to experience this new birth. And the first one is this: it's only possible. The new birth, being born again, is only possible through grace. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14 says this: the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. It educates us so that we can live sensible, ethical, and godly lives, listen, right now, by rejecting ungodly lives and the desires of this world. At the same time, we wait for the blessed hope and the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us in order to rescue us from every kind of lawless behavior and cleanse a special people for himself who are eager to do good actions. Now, if you want to look it up in the New International Version, I kind of like the way it says it. It says that grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. I told you last week when we were talking about Saul, we have the choice. We have the ability to say no. Every time a temptation comes up before us, we don't have to just say, well, I can't overcome it, I'll just give in. No, grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. It only happens by grace. It only happens through Jesus. There simply is no other way. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We don't get saved. We don't become born anew any other way other than coming to Jesus. He's the only way. It's not through all the different philosophical ideas of our culture. There's one way, that's by believing in Jesus. The new birth also requires a recognition of our sin. We have to recognize our sin so that once we recognize our sin, it should cause us to want to be better, right? We talked last week about Saul's conversion. Recognition of sin comes through conviction, and we talked about Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus last week. That was his conviction moment when the bright light shone around him and knocked him to the ground and caused him to become blind so that God could actually speak to him. That was his conviction moment. That was when he became aware of his sin. And once we become aware of it, then the new birth requires repentance from our sin. What does repentance mean? It means I stop doing whatever it is I know is sinful and I start doing something that is godly in place of it. I spent 14 years in the military and we had this drill and ceremony thing that we had to do, you know, kind of like marching band, but army style. I like marching band better. We had what we called an about face. I mean, I can't even do one. If I tried to do one right now, I'd probably fall, so I'm not going to do it. It's just you simply. It's a 180. You stick the toe behind here, and you spin around, and you're headed the other direction, just like that. That's what repentance is all about. I'm turning my back on sin, and I'm looking fully in the face of God, and I'm keeping my eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of my faith. Too many people want to be saved without repentance. I was talking with my brother, Robert, the preacher brother, and we were talking. I was telling him what I was preaching about this week. He said, can I ask you a question? He said, do you still talk about repentance when you talk about being born again? I said, how can you not? He goes, oh, I know, but you know the culture and the church culture in which we live, you know, everybody wants to be saved, but nobody wants to be saved from anything. I mean, they want to go to heaven and have the promise of heaven and still live however they want to live. I said, I understand that, but I said, it's not scriptural. Too many people want to be saved without repentance. Too many preachers who don't want to talk about it. But you know what? We need to remember that the very first message that John the Baptist preached was what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What was the very first message Jesus preached? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was the first message that Peter preached right after Pentecost. It says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. See, there's no salvation. There's no forgiveness. There's none of that without repentance. It's not just being sorry for sin. It's certainly not just being sorry you got caught. It's being willing to make a change. It's that turning away from sin. It's saying no. The new birth requires us to have a determination and a resolve to follow Jesus no matter what. Once again, it's not something we do on our own. You see, if we try it on our own, then we live according to the power of the flesh. But the flesh is weak. The flesh is limited. You see, the Spirit is our source of power. That's why we need to be born of the Spirit. Because when we're born again, the Spirit of God lives in us. And we live in His power. And His power is unlimited. When the Holy Spirit is in control, we can be victorious, but it's only through His power at work within us. Here's something else I want us to understand about being born again, and I want you to catch this. When we're born again, we're born into a kingdom. We are born into a kingdom. See, what are you talking about? Two times in John chapter 3, Jesus talks to Nicodemus about God's kingdom. And what does he tell him? In verse 3, he says, unless someone is born anew, it's not possible to see God's kingdom. To even catch a glimpse of it, to even know what it's all about. And then just two verses later in verse 5, Jesus said, I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, it's not possible to enter the kingdom. You see, too many times I think we believe that the kingdom of God is that place called heaven, you know, reserved for those after we die, but we need to understand that the kingdom of God is at work and present and active now in our lives. And how do I know that? Because I'm looking once again at one of my favorite commentators, William Barclay, and he's talking about the kingdom, and he defines it based on what Jesus tells us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus there tells us to pray and ask that your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He goes on to say that the kingdom of heaven is a society where God's will is as perfectly done on earth as it is in heaven. So to be in the kingdom of heaven is therefore to lead a life in which we have willingly submitted everything to the will of God. It is to have arrived at a stage when we perfectly and completely accept the will of God. Wow. You say, that's hard. No, that's impossible without being born again. We can't even begin to understand that concept without being born again. But there are other places in Scripture where Jesus tells his disciples, I am giving you a kingdom just as my Father gave me. He tells them in another place, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. See, the kingdom of God is something we're supposed to experience here, and it all begins when we're born again. But guess what? Every kingdom has a king. Did you know that? Every kingdom has a king. And the king determines the requirements to be a member of the kingdom. He's the one who sets the parameters. The king is the one that decides who's in and who's out. See, we can't be a part of his kingdom if we don't accept and embrace his will. And we can't accept and embrace his will unless we're born again. There's something else we need to understand about being born again. If you've been born again, you're a son or daughter of the King. Think about it. Let that soak in for a minute. If you're sitting in this room today and you have genuinely repented of your sins and you are truly born again, you need to understand that you are a son or daughter of the King. Why? Because you're born into a family. This idea goes along with, once again, John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, where Jesus, where John writes, "But to those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become God's children, born not from blood, nor from human desire or passion, but born from God." I really get tired of hearing this. You know, there's the little phrase we started off with, "Well, I was born that way, I can't help it." Well, then you need to be born again. All right, that's just the bottom line. Here's the other little phrase that I just really can't stand. Well, we're all God's children anyway. No, we're not. We're all God's creation. But if you've not been born again, you are not a child of God. You're not a part of the family. See, going to church all my life doesn't get me into the family. My grandparents' faith doesn't get me into the family. My mom and dad's faith and belief doesn't get me into the family. My husband or wife's faith doesn't get me into the family. My kids' faith don't get me there. The only thing that gets me into the family is me personally making a decision where I'm going to confess my sin and repent of my sin and ask Jesus to forgive me of my sin so that then I can be born anew and then I become a part of the family of God. And that's not me making it up. That's scripture. To those who believed in his name, he authorized them to become God's children. But when we're born again, we're born into a family. Not a lot different than the concept that we have here. From the physical birth, we're born into a family. But now we're born of God. We're children of the King. Another old song came to my mind when I was writing this message. It says, the chorus of it says this, "Yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I who was wretched and poor now can sing. Praise God, I'm a child of the King." This is your life. That is your testimony. That is your reality if you've truly been born again. But if not, you can't claim that because it's not reality. We know that anyone who's born again receives the gift of eternal life. John 3:16 tells us that anyone who believes in Jesus for their salvation will experience eternal life. But what is eternal life? It's not just the duration or the length of life. We all have an eternal, immortal soul that's going to spend eternity either in heaven or hell. But the word translated eternal refers to the kind of life that God lives, the quality of life. That word in the Greek that talks about eternal literally means God's life. And it means that he's living in us. So when we become born again, our life is surrendered to God and God's life is now lived in and through us. It's exactly what Paul is talking about in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, when he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in my body, I live by faith. Indeed, by the faithfulness of God's Son who loved me and gave himself for me." You see, when I become born again, my life is no longer mine. Your life is no longer yours. It's God's. And when we're born again, we're supposed to live that life however God chooses and directs us to live. It's God living in us. That's the ultimate benefit of the new birth. And the very reason we need to be born again. Let me just say something here. If you've never been born again, if you've never truly repented of your sins and been born again and become a child of God, then no matter what your age is, no matter how many birthdays, physical birthdays you've celebrated, if you're not a child of God and you're not born again, you've not really even started living yet. Oh, you're here. You're breathing. You're working, you're making a living for your family, you're doing all those things, but you're not living the kind of life God desires for us to live. Not the kind of life he created us to live. The good news is, though, that you could choose to be born again right now. And if you make that choice, then no matter how many birthdays you've already celebrated, no matter how old or young you might be, if you make that choice right now, you can walk out of this place saying, I've just started living. Have you started living? Have you truly been born again? Have you come to a personal, I'm not talking about ritual, I'm not talking about any of this stuff. Well, I joined the church. I don't care. I've been baptized. I don't care. I do care, but that doesn't save you. That old phrase, you know, I've baptized several people in my ministry, but you know what? I tell every one of them, baptism doesn't save us. I mean, you can go down a dry center and come up a wet one. My question for you is this. I want us to take a moment to evaluate in our own lives. I need to ask myself the question, have I genuinely come to a point in my life where I know I'm born again? And if you haven't, then this could be your day. We could share a birthday. Well, that might be a discouragement to you if I got to share a birthday with a preacher. Let's take just a moment. Right where you are, I ask you just to bow your heads, close your eyes, and answer that question honestly for yourself. Have I ever come to the point in my life where I have truly repented of my sins? Am I truly born again? I remember that church. I was a teenager. It was after a church service, and we'd had an altar call and an invitation. A little Nazarene church in Moberly, Missouri. I was walking out the door, getting ready to go home. I knew all the right words to say. I'd learned how to play church. Pastor's wife stood at the door greeting me and saying goodbye to people on our way out. She shook my hand. She said, Francis, how you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. But she didn't let go of my hand. She said, is everything okay spiritually? I said, yeah. And the whole time I was looking at the floor. She grabbed my hand tighter and she said, Francis Warren, look me in the eye and tell me you're genuinely saved. Look me in the eye and tell me you know for a fact you're a Christian. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it that day. And if you couldn't do it today, if you don't know that today, this is your moment. So maybe there's someone here who would like to come pray at this altar. I invite you to come. Maybe there's someone here who would just say, Pastor, I know I don't have a personal relationship with Christ the way I should. I know I'm not genuinely born again. Would you just raise your hand? I promise you, I'm not one of those pastors that comes back and names you out or calls you by name or tries to drag you to an altar. I think the first step is just being honest. So maybe there's someone here who would say, Lord, Pastor, I don't know. I can't say that I'm genuinely born again. Would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? I want to thank you so much for being here this morning. It's been a privilege to share this morning with you. Just let's have our prayer together, and then seems kind of strange to invite you back since I'm kind of the guest of our, but come back and have some cake with us and coffee before you leave. I'm going to ask Joe Walter if you would dismiss us in prayer this morning as we get ready to leave. God bless you.